That is just a perfect testimony leading into the message that the Lord's put in my heart for you today. We're gonna read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Praise God for how he is working practically in people's lives. We have just been so amazed. Luke 2, 1 through 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Lord, we thank you for the Christmas story, which is recorded for us in your Gospels. We pray, Father God, this morning that you would open up the truth of this peace you have given to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this season of Advent, which prepares our heart not only to celebrate the first coming of Christ, but to anticipate his second coming, as we have sung of today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have been with us through this Advent series, you know that I have taught on hope, I have taught on joy, and today I'm teaching on peace. We live in a pretty crazy world. And so the question is, how do we find peace in the middle of it? When so much of what we see on TV and what we experience in our families and even what Brenda has been through, what could easily be a roller coaster ride of medical diagnosis. We know there's legal problems, there's marital problems, there's financial problems, and peace seems to elude us, seems to be hard to find in the midst of all the circumstances of our lives. So this morning I just want to focus on two verses from this story, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people." Okay, I know in the New American Standard it says men, but in other translations it says people, because it's for all of us. It's for men and women. "And on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." So I want us to practically learn this morning, what is this peace that's promised, and then how do we live in this peace every day? So, the Christ of Christmas, whom we are going to celebrate in a couple days, whom we are anticipating now during the Advent season, the Christ of Christmas is the one who brings this peace into the world. The good news of a great joy is peace. Three directions. Peace that Jesus gives us is in three directions. And I want you to get this today. This is really some of the meat that I have to offer you from the Word of God. You have peace with God. You have peace with yourself. And then you have peace with others. And that really is the big point. Because so often we just think of peace that Jesus comes to give as peace with God. But we're going to look at the scriptures, and it's going to be very clear to you as we look at the scriptures that the peace that God gives us is not meant to just to be a vertical relationship. It's supposed to affect how we experience ourselves in life, then how we experience others. Which is why if we look at this, it says peace among people, peace among men. This peace he came to bring wasn't just for you individually and personally to have peace with God by yourself. It was then meant to go out to others. It's a gift we give. I want us to now look at the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John 14 to 27. If you can't keep up with me in the scriptures, please know that I'll be reading them out loud. You can write down the references. You can be noble like a Berean and check out everything I say. I'm not going to make a statement that's not grounded in the Word of God. John 14, 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." Now pay attention. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus does not offer us the peace of the world. Because the peace of the world, at best, is a ceasefire. That's all the world has to offer, is a ceasefire. The peace the world has to offer is not the end of hurt feelings. It's not the end of the tension that continues to exist, you know, whether it's between nations or between a couple, or it just, we all know this. This is just practical, life-lived wisdom. But the peace Jesus gives, which is not of this world, is his peace. He says, "My peace I give to you." And I want to introduce you to a big, fancy Bible word called enmity. Enmity. It's not a word we use a lot. But it's a very important word for us to understand what Jesus offers and what Luke 2:14 is saying. Jesus ends the strife, the discord, the hostility between the two parties. And we're going to see in Scripture that the two parties first, the enmity first existed between us and God, and then it also existed between people. So when the proclamation that there's peace, that peace is actually the end of enmity. And remember, the functional definition of enmity is strife, discord, hostility. We all know what those words mean, right? You know what it means to be hostile towards someone or someone to be hostile towards you? To have strife with somebody? To have discord? Okay, now let's go to Ephesians. Because I'm going to anchor what I just told you about. What Jesus promised you is peace. And that peace is the end of enmity, strife, discord between you and God that then goes to other people. We're going to look at this in the scriptures. This is so important because I think this would literally change the world. I think this would change our nation. I think this would change your Christmas experience with your family. Ephesians 2, 13 to 18. Ephesians chapter 2, the words of Paul to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. Please, this is such an important word. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Please remember that you cannot celebrate Christmas apart from understanding Easter, just like you cannot celebrate Easter apart from understanding of Christmas. They're intertwined. God came into the world, took on flesh, so that he can offer himself up as a payment for sins. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we might have peace with God and become the righteousness of God. This is why we celebrate Christmas, because it's God coming to bring peace. And that peace was won on the cross of Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. I go back to the word now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly, who were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Do you hear it? Where does peace come from? It's from Jesus. It's from what he did. It's why he came. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the, here's the big fancy word, he abolished the enmity. Verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh, by dying on the cross for our sin, he abolished the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two. Here it's talking about the Jewish and the non-Jewish people. Those who are in the covenant of God according to the old covenant and those who are excluded from a relationship with God according to the old covenant. Jesus abolished that so that we all could be brought into a right relationship with God. He might make the two into one new man. Once again, don't be anachronistic with your judgment of the use of the word man. He's talking about people here. Into one new people, a new people. Thus establishing peace. There it is again. He established peace not only with God and us, but between us. Verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have our access in one Holy Spirit to the Father. So you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That is the promise of Christmas. That's why Jesus came. That's why we get excited about a baby that was born over 2,000 years ago. Because he just wasn't a historical figure who came. This is God's Son. This is God who is Spirit, taking on flesh, dwelling among us, living a perfect, sinless life, so as to become the sacrifice, the one who would take the wrath of God, the anger that God has towards all sin, because God is angry at sin. He hates sin. So instead of sending us all to hell where we deserve to be, Jesus took our punishment for us on himself, so that we who put our faith in him and believe, we have this great transference, this double imputation. This great imputation is a big geeky word for transference. It means that Jesus took our sin, that which separates us from God, onto himself, and then he gave us his righteousness. He gave us his right stand with God. He removed that which caused a break in our relationship. Jesus took that break of a relationship onto himself on the cross so that we can have a right relationship. Jesus did what we can't do. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we sing. That's why we hoop and holler. That's why we raise our hands. That's also why we sit quietly and think deep thoughts about this God who did this for us. And if you don't have this peace with Jesus Christ, then I want you to know you can have his peace today. You can have peace with God by inviting Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, by taking your faith off of yourselves. I don't think a single person in this room has an issue with faith. You all have faith. The question is, who or what are you putting your faith in? Salvation is about putting our faith in Jesus Christ and taking the faith off of ourselves, because we cannot be our own saviors. We can't make our lives right. We are incapable of being right with God, making our lives work on our own. I know you don't have a faith problem because you're putting your faith in something or someone, an accomplishment, a degree, a job, a career, an appearance, something, a government. God save you. The only one who can save you, the only one who can help you have peace with God and with others, and honestly, even peace within yourself. And how hard is it just to have peace within your own head and your own heart? Is through faith, by putting your faith in Jesus, by believing in Jesus, putting your hope in Jesus as the one who can bring it all together. There's no other way to peace. There's no other way to peace. And friends, just pay attention, look around us. The catastrophic damage caused by trusting in ourselves, trusting in a nation or a corporation or a personal career path or a personal development plan or some achievement to work towards or a goal, a mountain to climb, a person to be with. Those are the prevalent and rampant ways in which people are trying to find peace, in which many of us have tried to find peace. And just let's look and pay attention to the catastrophic damage that's prevalent throughout our nation. Because we have left the peace of Jesus Christ to try to find fulfillment and peace in something or someone else. And Jesus this morning is inviting you back to find your peace in Him. Because the stock market is not going to give you a peace. Welcome to the roller coaster ride, if that's where your peace is. It's the same with anything. I want you to listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. I want you to hear of this peace that Jesus is offering you this morning. Romans 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, having been justified by faith, in other words, being made right with God by putting your faith in Jesus, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult. Now, this is the hard part of this passage, but hear it. With peace, with God's peace, through faith in Jesus, this is true. Starting in verse 3, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings up perseverance. In other words, you're going to go through hard times, and you can keep praising Jesus through the hard times because it brings about perseverance. Verse 4, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Wouldn't it be nice to have some character in the midst of all that's going on? Just watch the major news networks right now, and you tell me how character is going in our country. I'm sorry, it's just what's on everyone's mind. I'm not referencing it because I'm partisan or because I have an opinion on it. That's not my job. My job is to point you to the only hope, which is in Jesus. You can have your own opinions about those things. I'm telling you, though, but if you put your hope in either side of that argument, or if your hope is that argument just stops, or whatever your hope is, it doesn't matter. It's misplaced. The hope has to be in Jesus. It has to be in something bigger than, grander than, more persevering than the shifting sands of public opinion and the shifting sands of your checkbook and the shifting sands of your spouse's opinion of you. I know that hits home, doesn't it? Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. For while we were still helpless, here it is, while you were still helpless, while you were incapable of having peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others, what happened? At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. Verse 7, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But here it is, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were far off and at odds with God, at odds with ourselves, and at odds with other people, Jesus came to die, to give us life. That's why he was born. That's why he came. And he knew this from the beginning. He knew you from the beginning. Now, how do we bring this peace to other people when other people are not acting very peaceful? Because you're like, okay, I can have peace with God, but Jerry, you don't understand where I work. Jerry, you don't understand what I go home to. Jerry, you don't understand what I'm dealing with at school. I know people are being bullied at work and at school. You know, we were praying for one of our students this morning in our Sunday group, and we're praying that he would not be bullied. and that the Lord would just reconcile. I know that there's unpeaceful situations. So how do we be people of peace when we're dealing with unpeaceful people and situations? And I think that's why we need to have not only peace with God, but in order to take the peace with God towards others, we need to have peace within ourselves. Do you want to be the solution and bring peace to your world? Then rest and stand firm in the peace you have. Because if you let your circumstances and situations dictate your peace, if you let your stock market or your checking account or your whatever dictate your peace, you're not going to have any, and it's not going to be stable, or at best, it's going to be a roller coaster ride. So let's look at this. Philippians, the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. For those of you who have heard me teach before, you've heard me use this scripture. If you've ever met with me to get some help, you know I probably gave you this scripture. This is my number one, one of my number one prescriptions for you, no matter what you're going through. Please hear this. Free counseling right here. Use that $100 to invest in some great gospel ministry, okay? Here it is. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Please know that this is military imagery right here. When Paul is saying that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, I want you to imagine God standing at the entrance place of your mind and the entrance place of your heart, like with full armor protection. He is guarding your heart and mind, protecting you when you are looking at your anxiety and choosing to praise God, give thanks, and pray to Him in that place. Staying faithful in the place of your circumstances is what allows you to get off the roller coaster ride of your circumstances, praising Him in the storm. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what Brenda was talking about. In the midst of the diagnosing, in the midst of finding out that her husband had died for 3 months, in the midst of all those things, making a choice to dwell on the promises of God, making a choice to praise Him in the midst of the storm. This kind of peace from God, only from God, has to persevere in us. That's why we memorize Scripture. That's why we dwell on it. That's why we think on it. That's how we apply it to the worst of our life situations. Because the only alternative for us, if we don't have something to stabilize us in the midst of our circumstances, is to go for the ride. If you don't have Jesus in your life to stabilize your emotions and to stabilize your mindset and to keep you focused in the midst of the situations and circumstances of your life, the only other alternative is to go for the roller coaster ride and to let the medical community or your investor or CNN or Fox News or your favorite talk show host or your favorite blogger or podcaster to take you for the ride. And I don't want you to let anything of this world or anyone, not even me, to take you for a ride. I want you to be in Jesus. I want you to be mentally sound. Jesus is the one who keeps us mentally and emotionally sound. And stopping and listening to Him and being honest with Him about where He is our mental health. He's our emotional stability in the midst of a breakup. Jesus said this. I had one sister who was... We were talking about this week. She said, this is her favorite promise of Jesus. It's from John 16. John 16, verses 32 to 33. And I think this will be a gift to you. You've heard it once today already. Brandon sang a lot about it. Lead us in singing a lot about it. Here it is. Ready? John 16, 32 to 33. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So Jesus was about to face the cross, and he was talking to his disciples. He said, it's about to happen, and all you guys are going to leave. And I'm going to be all by myself, but you know what? I'm going to face the hardest thing in my life, and though nobody will be around, I will not be alone because my Father, my God, is with me. Then here it is, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me, did you hear that? This is Jesus, in me, that's the key. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulations. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I don't know what you're going through. And I know you think it's big, and I believe it is too. But Jesus is bigger. And whatever you think is overcoming you and is threatening to destroy you, I want you to know that Jesus has overcome it. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you. In other words, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if, as followers of Jesus, as Christians who celebrate Christmas, the Christ of Christmas, don't be surprised if tribulations still come. Jesus told us ahead of time that bad things would continue to happen, that all this would happen. Jesus told us all this is going to get worse. He told us that. But he says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Don't be surprised by it. Take courage. I have overcome the world. We celebrate a baby who was born to overcome all the brokenness of the world, to give us the promise of a new heaven and new earth that is our hope through whatever you're going through. Don't let the temporary circumstances of your life crush your faith, cause you to lose your joy. Because your peace comes from knowing and believing that your hope is found in Christ alone, that your joy is your strength, that the perfect love of God will drive out all fear, that his grace, which brings about faith and salvation, his grace is your sufficiency. That means your ample supply for today. Don't forecast into today the problems, your feared problems of tomorrow. Stay present in this moment and trust that the God who's overcome the world is right there with you. And he will be with you because he's given you of his Holy Spirit. And I want to end with this scripture to tie it all together. Jesus gave us a great commandment. He said in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, he said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." In other words, let me summarize. Love the Lord with all you've got, with every ounce of your being, seen and unseen. Love him. And Jesus said, this is the great and foremost commandment. But then he said, and I want you to pay attention to this. He said, the second is like it. Here it is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Everything that God has commanded are dependent upon you having peace with God, with your whole being. Did you hear that? Love the Lord God. Have peace with God with your whole being. Give him everything. If you think you've done something that makes you so bad that God can't love you, then you don't know the goodness of my God, and I want to introduce you to how good he is. Because there's nothing you have done that can separate you from his love. He wants you to come in. And all that takes is receiving his grace and putting your faith in him, taking your faith off yourself, taking your faith off of other things, and just putting your faith in that baby Jesus who didn't remain a baby, that became an adult and died on the cross to show you how much God loves you. Jesus said that's the greatest thing you can do with your life is to love him, and the second is like it. Now go and love other people, the people that I have given you peace with, because I've removed the enmity, the strife, the discord between people. You say, how is that possible, Jay? There's still war. Jesus said there would still be war. He said, because you're to go and bring the message of peace. Because your peace is no longer dependent upon a ceasefire. Your peace is no longer dependent upon whether your feelings have been hurt or not. Because your peace is from God. and you're now a messenger of peace. You're the messenger of the gospel. And you go because you now, your hope's in the new heaven, new earth. Your hope's not in if that person is going to treat you right or not, because they're not. Because that's what Jesus said. They're not. The system and the people, they're not. If they're apart from Christ, and even if they're in Christ, if they're not fully living in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there's still hurt feelings. There's still people interpreting things wrong. And Jesus says, you go and be love and love them as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as your... And how do you love yourself? Not with a worldly, look at all my accomplishments and look at my pedigree. No, love yourself because God died on the cross for you, because he gave you grace. Now, how do you love others? With grace. You bring grace. You bring the truth and grace. You bring love. You bring the miracle of Christmas. You bring forgiveness. You bring reconciliation. If your family is having a hard time this Christmas and you're just sitting there going, wow, this is like the last place I want to be. You bring Christmas. You bring the joy of Jesus. You bring the peace. Some people want to bring the peace by spiking the eggnog. I say no. You bring the peace by being intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. Because those other spirits will not bring lasting peace. But the Holy Spirit will bring a permanent, eternal peace when they see that you're different because you're not being agitated by their antics. You're not being taken off kilter by their shenanigans. You are rock solid in Jesus. And that is what Jesus has to offer us, is a life that stands firm in the persevering promises of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, because I already have everything I need in him. And that is how you do it. I'm going to pray for you now. Brandon, could you come up and accompany me, brother? I want to pray for you the 23rd Psalm. In John 10, Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. And he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you the abundant life. Christmas is about you receiving the abundance that Christ can give you. The hope, the joy, the faith, the peace that only comes by grace. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The thief only wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Then he says, there's wolves who want to devour the sheep. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And if you want to walk in the perseverance of the hope I give you at Christmas, and the joy I give you at Christmas, and the peace I give you at Christmas, then put your faith in me and allow me to be your good shepherd. And we know what a shepherd does because the Bible tells us in Psalm 23. So we're going to pray over you now. Lord Jesus, my hope and prayer for each person within the sound of my voice is that they would experience the Christmas miracle and open up the gift of Jesus into their lives. If you have not yet accepted this Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, the Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, the Jesus who removed the hostility between us and God and between us and other people, I pray that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you would confess your sins to him, put your hope in him. And if you want to respond by coming forward, the prayer stairs are open. People will be here to pray for you. Come now. Come and receive the Christmas gift of Jesus Christ. Receive peace with God. And for those of you who have Jesus but are needing some emotional, mental peace because of brokenness in your life, in your relationships, then come. Come to the altar. Come and receive the peace that comes from putting your hope in Jesus, finding your peace in Jesus, giving God those circumstances and situations with thanksgiving, and he will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. if there's someone that you are going to see over these holidays that you are just having animosity with, a broken relationship with, you're just not feeling it, I pray right now that you submit your feelings to the Lordship of Christ and you allow Jesus to flow peace, that he will remove the enmity between you and that family member or that friend or that other person who goes to church or that person at work. So if there's someone you need to bring to the altar and you need to get right with them and they're in this room, get them right now. Get them and bring them to the altar and get right. If you're embarrassed to do that, then do it afterwards in private. If there's someone that you need to figuratively from your family or work bring to the altar right now, then come and bring that person. Get right with that person right now in the Spirit. So I pray for you as you do this, you'll receive the promise of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you do each of these things in my life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Thank you, Jesus, that through faith in you, that by your grace, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, Christmas miracle, walk with me every day of my life, in every moment, in every season. Be my Good Shepherd, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.